the cottage that we were given was not these misconceptions of all kind of business. So this, Robin, maybe you have to report them. The most basic misconception, I think, and I think it's critical to point out, is the one that's really not so much from the halakhic perspective, it's just very much kind of coming up in Bezin all the time, and that is the misconception that people are predictable. The fact that people are not predictable, and when people start a business together, or they start some sort of business relationship, and everyone assumes that, you know, we're best friends, we're siblings, we're brothers-in-law, it's all going to go great and everything will be fine. That's not usually the end of the story. Something comes up along the way and you realize all of a sudden that you had different ideas when you started. So you were thinking one thing, your partner was thinking something else, and it ends up in a click is the end of the mezzin, and it's never a good idea. So the first thing to always do as much as possible is to be as very clear when you first start any kind of business relationship. Set out the terms in writing so everybody knows what is expected and what isn't expected. And they'll still be mortified about later about the wording of the contract, so at least they'll have a baseline, have something to start with. We had a very interesting case. There were two partners, I'm calling them partners already, two people who decided they're starting a venture together. One of them was very good at logistics, the other was very good at sales. So they said, great, they had this idea, they're going to go into some form of construction. And the sales guy gets to work bringing in customers, logistics guy gets to work doing all the paperwork and making sure the work gets done. And this went on for 2 or 3 years. No one ever took any money out, there were no disbursements or anything. After 2 or 3 years, the guy who was doing all the sales tells the logistics guy, you know, it's already 3 years, we're ready, our business is ready with $several million. Maybe it's time to start taking some money out. So he says, okay, what's your salary? Salary? We're partners. No, we're not partners. You're my salesman. It's my business. You're my salesman. So we never discussed the salary. So I'll give you, like, I don't know, they're going great for a salary of a salesman over 2-3 years. For sure, no problem. I'm happy to pay your salary. But half the company, that, you know, that it's my company. Why would you get half the company? You're just a salesman. So what do you do now? No paperwork. Only legal paperwork is all the logistics guy. That's what he does. His job is to do logistics. So it's all in his name. Company's under his name. What's left? So they're busy trying to figure out what exactly were the terminologies used. What, are there any emails that refer to him as a partner? Is that going to be really covet? Is that really going to tell us? Is he the partner because you called him a partner? Sometimes you call him really good workers. You call him a partner. The partner in crime doesn't think he's a real partner. So it's as much as possible. If there had there been a contract set up from the beginning, had there been the, you know, the terms set up from when they started, all that would have been avoided. So don't assume people are predictable. The closer the relationship, the more important it is to have a very clear contract of what's expected.
Legally or
legally helps also. That's not as much my point. My point is that everything should be clear. Once it's clear, then we have a baseline at least from the level perspective of what you were thinking when you went in. But it's always good to do things legally, and that gives them the backing to any investment that has to go settle the court later. If it's done legally, you're in a much better place. So now, the next thing I want to focus on is going to be the concept of do words matter. Many Americanisms, you know, words can't hurt me and things like that. So do words really matter? That's the thing we want to look at. So it's a Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is pretty clear. This is built back from Empress and complete test. Says any mega negro, any kind of mega, any kind of business transaction is not done with words alone. You say, how much do you want for this thing? And the guy says, I'm willing to pay this much. Okay, agreed. Okay, so I'm buying this item, you're gonna pay me this amount for it. You will agree, yeah, we all agree. And then the guy says, yeah, I changed my mind. So you slide back out. It's Kenyan is not enigma. The words themselves do not make a Kenyan, even though we need to do the Shulchan Aruch so far to say there are Edim there. You guys are Edim, and I'm going to buy this camera from him for $150. Yeah, we're Edim. Still, they could back out. There was no opinion, transaction is not done, and either side could back out. So that gives us a very big license, it would seem, that we could just talk as much as we want and promise whatever we want, commit to whatever we want, and the assumption will be that we'll get all scot-free. So I would just say the following case, you have the guy who shows up, he's like the Mashiach. You know, he is the Mashiach. And he's got the perfect sob story. He gets to go to supper like he's supposed to. And he gives you the whole deal. He has 14 children, Nebuch, and Nebuch, all of them are married, Nebuch, and it's such a sad story. He needs $14 million, and you're the guy who's going to give it to him. So of course you go through your regular routine now, times now, you come back and leave an envelope and this guy's not going for it. He said to Chaim Kanievsky, told him last week that if you give him money, he's going to give you a piece of PCI crumb, and he has it all worked out. So you tell him this, I'm in the middle of a very sticky business deal. It might go through, it might not go through. There's millions of dollars on the line. If the deal goes through, in the next 2 weeks, you get the money. Guy says, deal. 2 weeks, deal goes through. I'm going to work out. I have my strings on. I pull my strings up in Shemayim. They all have. You'll see this deal is going to be Matzliach. I'm taking the miser, and he walks out happy, and you're happy you got rid of this guy. Sure enough, within a week, your broker calls you up. Believe it or not, everything's tied up. Closing is tomorrow. Go down to the closing. Smooth. You walk out of there with $10 million. Sit down with your checkbook, and you have this guy's address. Are you going to write this guy $1 million just because you're asking during shopping? What's going to happen now? But you told him. Okay, I told him. I told him. Right, I told him. First of all, the money wasn't here yet. I didn't think I was going to get it. And it didn't make any Kenyan. The money wasn't here to make a Kenyan on. So forget it. I'll give him $100. He was a really nice guy. $1,000. $1 million? So what do you say? Do we say words don't count? Or do words count? So I brought a Yeruka booklet here. Everyone should sign up for Yeruka. Little plug here. Not a little plug, a big plug. Everyone should sign up for Yeruka. Yeruka is a business curriculum, a place mishpat for people involved in the business world, all the things you need to know and all the things you should know. So this particular one focuses on Kinyanim, and we have the topic of Dvorim. Whether or not Dvorim have any relevance when you make a Kinyan. So the Bukhari tells us this is booklet on page, so it goes on a look at the end. So it's on page 19 in the booklet. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Reish Mem Gimel, if you promise someone a present, the halacha is as follows: if it's a small present, then you're not allowed to go back on your words. You have to give it to them, or else you're what's called a chusur amana. You're an untrustworthy person. But if it's a big present, you promise somebody to give him a big present, then the guy didn't really expect to get it. You didn't really expect to give it to him. That present is not really doesn't really exist, and you can back out. You don't have to give it. However, the Mechaber says, in a Mechaber Ani, if the person you promised it is an Ani, then Amy Ochlazo, you cannot back out because there's now a nether. Even if it's a big present, there's now a nether. When you promise a poor person a present, now it's a nether. You can't back out on the nether. So you'll say, okay, so the nether part is, you know, I'm in trouble now, but it was still an asmachta. I didn't think I was going to make this money. I'm going to go to Ilkha Stock, that's a ration of Chesn Yeridea.
And they said it on me and these people.
That is a sticky question that I don't want to touch right now. But as a general rule, Rav Stock is not a topic, it's a fun topic, but it's not this one. There's two separate Yeruka booklets on Yeruka Stock, which is not up to you. So in the topic of Stock, we define the definition of an Ani is as follows: anyone who does not have enough money in savings right now to live off the profit without doing anything, just putting it into a REITs fund or whatever and making enough profit to live on. Or he has a steady income. Those are the two criteria to not be called an ani. If you're missing any one of those criteria, meaning A, you do not have a steady income, and B, you don't have enough money in savings that you can live off the profit, then halachically you're considered an ani. You're now entitled to take a stock. How much stock is it? It's all right, that's the same stock. So most of being a mishulach, unless we argue that being a mishulach is a job, which is also an interesting way of looking at things. But if we don't look at it that way, then they don't have a steady income and they don't have enough savings to live above. So technically, they would be considered ani. And whether this is a worthy cause or not is another difficult discussion, which is not for now. So, trying to get off onto the asmachta, like you said, in Esedar Play, if I do such and such, I will give this part of Staka. That is called a nether, and you have to do it. You don't have the hetter of a smachta. The Abba Cheshimishma does not apply to tzedaka. And therefore, if somebody pledges a gift to tzedaka based on the smachta, that nether is chal. And therefore, in this given case of Mishul, barring other circumstances, you would have to take out your checkbook and write $1 million to Mishul. So again, be very careful what you promise to your Mishul. Good. Shalom Ba'alam is also a Machlekes. But Mechaber again passes in the Stocka, and it's also in the Yeruka book that Shalom Ba'alam is Mishayev like Stocka. If you're trying to give a Dovah Shalom Ba'alam, if you're trying to be Mechayev yourself to give a Dovah Shalom Ba'alam, then you have to give it.
If you're saying just to get rid of the guy,
that is an ever. Unless we call it, there's such a thing as another lamuchs.
Yep. I made a nether just because the tax collector is here and I didn't really meet. So that is also interesting, Shaila. It could be Shaila nether based on that. So you'll discuss it with your local rabbi whether or not you can or should be Shaila on the nether. But it just brings out the point that we're trying to bring out.
Sebeli nether really is really works.
No, Sebeli nether works. If you don't have the nether, then you're out of the nether part. You still have maybe other issues of problems, but you're out of the nether part. That's correct. That was a good idea to send the nether.
Can you try to go negotiate with the guy after?
Well, you can do that. That's because Mochila works like a Kibbutz Kabbalah, as if you gave it. Okay. So that's as far as that one case. Now I just want to take a quick trip as time allows through some of Kaisha Mishpat, all the different cases where Dvarim actually have real ramifications. And you cannot just say, well, it was just words and therefore it doesn't count. So we'll start with Lotus Halval, Sidim on the test, Kaisha Mishpat, somebody who's made the faith and that I owe money. If there's two people standing there and someone comes over to you and says, you owe me money, and you say, it's true, I owe you money. The Edom are there, and you say, it's clear that these are the Edom, and they're Edom on this Pleidol. They can come to Bezer and say, we've heard him admit that he owes $100. You now owe this $100, even if it's clear to everyone you never owed him. Even if we all know you never owe the money. By admitting that you owe someone money, that is a Kenyan, as the site points out, and therefore you now owe that money, so they'll ever admit in front of the Edom to something that you owe. Actually owe it, and you don't have to admit it, you have to pay it anyway. Next, we go to this Arv Simkul Chav Tes. Somebody wants a loan, you don't have the money to lend him, so you go over to your local gavir and you introduce them and you say, this guy really needs a loan, maybe you can help him out. And the guy says, well, I don't know, how am I going to get the money back? So you tell the gavir, I'm good for it. If he doesn't pay it back, it's on me. So the gavir says, okay, you I know, him I don't know. So he writes out a check. The minute that happens, you just said it's on me, you just became an RM, and now if that guy, for whatever reason, skips town or doesn't pay, you are on the hook for every dollar. So be careful what you say. Next, we go to this case, Shechenim, so we go from Dalit. If, let's say, you have your swimming pool in your backyard and your kind next door neighbor decides to build this massive deck overlooking your backyard, and now every time the Enkluk is going to be coming over, you're going to be sitting there in your pool and you know old Enkluk is going to be checking you out. So it's a little bit awkward, but he's your nice neighbor, you don't want to make any problems. So as he's standing there on his new deck overlooking your backyard, he says, oh, I'm sorry, like we're overlooking your backyard. And you say, don't worry about it. The minute you said that, you're done. No more claims. You're moichel. A hezegriyah, mechaber paskins. You should. That halacha is that you cannot. You can no longer retract that. You allowed somebody to encroach upon your privacy, and you said it's all right. Now it's done. You can't change your mind later. You can't say, well, now my girls are older. You can't. None of that. Once you allow the guy to be there, he now has cheskas tashmishin. It's called mishivzik mechaloyim, and you cannot pull it back anymore. Till the shulchan simkubayin aleph. Good ayomim. What's good? Oh, good. You have two people who are partners and they want to dissolve the partnership. So if it's a dividable asset, so you just split it. If it's an asset that cannot be divided, it's going to decrease in value if you divide it, or it can't equally divide the specific things that are necessary for the whole business to survive. So you have to sell the business. So we have the rule of good or ugly. That either partner can go to the other, make him an offer, and say either you buy it off me for this amount, or I'll buy it off you for this amount. And once you make that offer, it is now binding. Now the other partner gets to choose. Either he'll buy you out, or he'll buy him out. So we pass you can't pull that back. Rav Shulman says, once you make the offer, you cannot retract it. You go to your partner and you say, listen, you think he doesn't have the money, and the business is worth $1 million. You don't think he has $1 million, and you want to take over the business. So you say, I'll buy you out for $1 million. And he comes back and says, no problem, man. So someone's willing to help me out, and he's going to lend me the money, or he's going to give me the money, and I'll buy you out. And the next day, you find yourself without a job. Too bad. You can't retract that. Once you made the offer, it's done. You can't pull it back. Next is the shutzen. So we go by involved. How does a partnership start? What makes a partnership function? So one way is we can make a kinyan together. We both buy merchandise together. We both pick up merchandise together. We put money in a wallet, and we both make a kinyan on it. And that is the sheet of the Rambam. But the Rambam brings the sheet of the Mordechai that a partnership can start with Zorim Ba'alma. We made up, we're going to start this partnership. You're going to take 70% because you're a talented guy. I'm not as talented. I'm going to come with some logistics. I'm going to take 30%. Half 6 months later, you find you're doing all the work and this guy just lays it off and he wants to take 70%. Too bad. You set up a partnership 70-30, it's 70-30. You're not doing this partnership. You can schlep with the president. You can have a discussion. You can dissolve the partnership going forward. But that partnership is based on the terms we discussed. The kinyan is chal and dvarim ba'alma. Next, the shluchim simkuf tei beis.
You could base that off of certain criteria if he does that.
So that's always a good idea. Always set it up beforehand. If you meet these benchmarks, if you put in this amount of hours, if you earn this profit, you should always do that. But whatever the words you said in the beginning of the partnership, those are the words that the partnership is based on, and that will outlive the partnership. If that you have your partner and a fire breaks out in the warehouse, uninsured, you're out of town. You call your partner, you heard a rumor or something, you know, your ring thing, your ring camera went off and it's a disaster. So you call your partner and say, get down there. So he goes and runs down there and he realizes that he only saved half the merchandise. So he saves half the merchandise. And you're watching the whole thing on the camera. And he says, I only saved half. And you say, okay, at least we check 25. He says, no. I saved my half. Your half is still there. So it depends. As long as he said nothing when he went to save it, then it's true. He saved it to the middle. But if he said to any two aides in there, he said, "Ask me any matzah, I'm saving it for myself," you're out of the picture. You just divided the shuftas right now, and now he only saved his half, and your half is unfortunately up in smoke.
Why aren't your partners on everything?
Correct, your partners on everything. But the minute that fire broke out, and we could only save half, he has the right to say that partnership is over. I'm not staying in this partnership down to lose all my money. He can end that partnership at the time and only save his half. If he could save the whole half, the whole thing, and he says, I'm just saving money, then he's a shomer safar shepasha. He's a shomer safar on the whole thing. And if he just chooses to just save half and just leave the rest to burn, he'll be chayav as a shomer. But if he could only save half, and therefore he goes and he saves his own half, if he said those magic words, I'll ask me any amounts, I'm saving for myself, your half is unfortunately up in smoke, and he is now still has his business to go on with.
Anytime can come and say, okay, we divide.
Not anytime, not anytime. But in this kind of emergency, where he stands to lose all of it, his partnership never meant that he's going to lose all his money.
Yeah, but partnership meant that we are partners on everything.
That's correct.
I mean, how can you all of a sudden in a second say he's giving up partners?
That's does that make sense? That's at this point, we're at this juncture right now, this partnership is ending regardless. It's about to be over. Now he's saying, do I have to lose my half? I'm only here, I can only say half. Do I have to lose my half or can I just save my half? So that is a right of a shulchan to say, since I can only save half, but atmiyani matzal, I'm saving to myself. Don't like this? It's in Simen Kuf Pei Aleph, Sif Beis. Guvan to Shluchin, Simen Kuf Pei Beis Sif Aleph. All Shluchin, you send a Shliach, it is Chal B'Dvar Ba'alma. You don't need a kinin to make a Shliach. You just tell somebody, go do me a favor, go to the auction and sell my house. He goes and he does it. Your house is now sold. You don't own a house anymore. So he made the proper kinyanim in the auction. If you made a shliach, the dvar v'alma, it is chal. Therefore, it says that Ramah, if you send tell somebody, go buy this and this thing, I won't be partners in it. He goes and he buys it. There's no backing out. You own half of it. You are now a partner in half, and there's no backing out.
If I tell someone, if I make someone a shliach, but I make it with tnoim, I say, go buy this merchandise, but on the following tnoim, that it's for this price.
Absolutely.
For this
price, you make kol tnai shavuot and kaya. Always speak out your terms and it'll be okay. Kol tnai shavuot and kaya. Next, this sirser, sinakuk pei hei, a broker. We had a case, someone was looking to sell his summer home, and he was getting desperate. It was getting close to summer season. He was afraid he wouldn't find a buyer, and they probably have to wait until the price would go down, or he'd have to wait until next summer. So he puts on his wife status. $10,000, whoever finds me a buyer. Some person's going through his own, just going through his statuses. He sees this thing, and right back a few statuses later, he sees a different thing, looking to buy a summer home. Anyone can find, please reach out, then he leaves. So he just forwards one status to the next. He screenshots, sends it over, and within 5 minutes, that house is under a agreement. So the guy says, well, I wasn't promising $10,000 to just look at one status and four. I thought you were going to make some phone calls if you're a broker or something. Here, you just made one link and you're no deal. The Dvar Baal, you're a sir, you did your job, you get paid. You set your price, you put your status, your price is $10,000. This guy did it. He did the job. He gets $10,000. You're going to cost him nothing. It was zero effort. He did it. He gets his $10,000. Someone selling something, in case of a broker, you're selling something. And he tells the broker, I want 1.2 million for this thing. If you sell it for more, you can keep the change. I want 1.2 million. The guy goes and sells it for 2 million. So he says, whoa, I thought you could get 1.21, 1.22, 1.2 million. Nothing doing. He tells the money, even if he says nothing, he just goes ahead and does it. That was his terms. He keeps all the change. Next, Simon, I think it was Max Members, going to reach Ali. You say there's something called minigat tagor, minigat seichel. Even though normally this formal kinyanim, how you make a kinyan for all the different things, if there is a regular standard way of doing it, the way the moichrim, the way the business people do it, the way they set their kinyanim, when that happens, the kinyan is chal. You have the famous salutation known as mazal bracha. If you're in the diamond district, two people are trading a diamond, selling a diamond. Once they say that mazal bracha, I'm not sure if it has to come with a handshake or not. I believe it does not. Once they do whatever they typically do in the industry, that say those magic words, mazal bracha, it's done. There's no backing out, even though it's just words. Mazal bracha is a kinyan. Next, because the Jew is already Zion. Fascinating case. If you give some sort of representation when you're about to sell something, it wasn't really in the terms of the deal, but you made a representation. Let's pick a wild case. Somebody has a platform and they want to sell it for $44 billion. And they made some sort of representation to someone that there's a certain amount of bots or not amount of bots on the platform, and they go into contract to buy it. So we have Bishri Chuva. Bishri Chuva tells us, lady wants to buy Shimon's house. So how much do you want? Says, I want 500, what, 500 Reichstag. Lady says, I'll give you 300. Meicher Shimon says, you crazy, 300? Naftali was just here. He offered me 400, and I told him to go fly a kite. There's no way I'm selling this for anything less than that. So the guy says, okay, fine. He gives him 410, and he buys that house. Walks out thinking that he got a great price, and he meets all the people in the market and tells him, you just got gypped big time. There's no way anyone in the world offered that much money for this house. So he buys this Naftali guy and says, it truly made it all, 300? Never happened, never made any offers, never spoke to the guy. I don't know what he's talking about. Not only did the guy made a shvur in the case of Chavisera, the guy swore that Naftali was here and he made the offer, and I swear that I would not sell this house for less than 400. So the guy made a shvur, okay? So he went ahead with the deal, gave him 410, but now people are telling you just got jipped and Naftali's denying the whole story. So says the Bishri Chuva, if he paid already, he's in trouble. But if he didn't pay yet, says the Bishri Chuva, he can clearly say, there was an omdin here. I was based this mecca based on a certain presumption that you made. You told me I have a right to assume that someone was willing to pay 400, and based on that, I offered 410. Therefore, says the Bishri Chuva, if you didn't pay yet, you don't have to pay, you can back out, and you can walk away from the deal, even though you made a kinyan. Because you made a representation, that representation turned out to be false. The whole deal can be repealed. So I don't know if Elon knows about this or not. The problem is there's a Taz in Simchat Shimon Beis says that if two people are haggling over a price and one of them says that, other people offered me even a higher price. So therefore the buyer offers a higher price. Taz says, my Simchat Shimon, people lose every day, no problem. It's for sure not a mecca talks. Shuva says, I have the Kamasiyar on the one hand saying that any misrepresentation is enough to cancel a deal. I have the Taz saying that this is Maisim B'chol Yad, people do this all the time. Tzarachin. So I guess that leaves us to the Chancery Courts in Delaware to figure that out.
But if he paid for it, he gave time to make
a once cost. He paid, it's too late, correct. It's not, if anything, it would be a null, not a katos, but it would not be a, at least if Shuva, even the Kamasiyar would assume that you can't pull back based on that. It wasn't an important deal.
Then make a toast?
It's not quite very close.
If you pay, then at least based on there's something which was
toast.
Sound like a toast is getting whatever he said he was going to buy.
Correct. But the way we assess make a toast, the original basic pay, is that the way you define whether something is or it isn't is based on if normal people would undo the sale. If you buy a house, and you discover that the doorknobs are they're not good. You know, you turn the door and they crack off. It's going to say mecca toast. They'll go back to close. I'm doing the closing. Not happening. Because this is not the kind of move that people will undo a sale based on this kind of move. So that's going to be the most baseline criteria for mecca toast. Is this the kind of thing that in your society, this would be a deal breaker? If not, then the deal is high and it's just called a no. I cheated you. It's not a mecca toast. It's not a different thing. Mecca toast has to be defined as a different thing. So in a $44 billion deal, I kind of doubt that it's a mecca toast. That's the type of thing that would reveal it. If anything, it would change the numbers to a certain extent. It'll, you know, reevaluate the numbers, but it's not going to make it into a different thing. It's hard to call Twitter not Twitter. It just is Twitter. There's no real way to say it's just not something. It's not what I want. Next, we go to Hilchos Eino Mecca Toast and Ratio Ches, the Din of Enos Dvarim. You say words don't count, but Enos Dvarim certainly counts. Enos Dvarim says the Mechav Ratio Ches Tefalot is worse than Enos Moment. In Osmoman, you can return. In Osmoman, isn't his money. but it knows Zvarim, can't pay it back, it's in his goof. And second, it knows Ornan Miyad, says the Muhammad said Gimel, specifically, it knows Ishka, you have to be very careful, say hurtful words to your wife. Shnosim Tzuyah is very dangerous. Moreover, you can't be great of Das Abiris with Barn, you can't cheat people's minds, you can't trick them to your benefit, you can't give someone the impression that you're willing to do something for them if it's not true. He invites you to his child's wedding. He has zero intent on going in. You say, oh, I wish, but I had my niece's wedding that night. And you're thinking, oh, boy, it's good thing I have a niece, or I don't even plan to go to my niece's wedding, but at least now he thinks I'm coming. You can't do that. You cannot give people the impression that you're willing to do something for them if it's not true.
But why do you think your position, your profession, talking about politician, mm-hmm. is defined?
You say, everybody knows not to take you seriously.
Everybody.
If anything, that's what's called Lindul Shaydam Davar Sheker. Now that train your tongue to speak falsely. So it doesn't sound like a great Jewish business, if that's the business. So you can't misrepresent what you would do for somebody, and you have to be careful. You show up at a wedding out of town, and you happen to have been there for a business meeting, and the guy says, oh my gosh, you came all this way. You have to find some nice way to tell him, no, I was here for a business meeting also. Because or else he has every right to think that he came special. So what in the world are you doing here? So since he has a right to think that, so and now he's going to be makatov to you, you're going to have to find some way of clarifying that. Usually the nice way to do that is say, no, it was so bashar. Hashem so much wanted me to come to this wedding that he made me a business meeting right near you. That usually gets you out of trouble.
So you make him more special.
that's a good way of doing it. But otherwise...
So where's the line? We're taught from a young age. We're taught from a young age that we're supposed to be enigmatic and politically correct, make people feel good, talk nicely, express niceties to people. And now it seems like we're going against it.
The basic definition of this kind of nevus das is that a person's not going to play with you for something that you never would have done. If he's tricking himself, so then it's his fault. For example, if you are in Lakewood, and you show up to a wedding in Lakewood. And the guy says, why, you came all this way? Keep quiet. Why? Because there's 1,000 reasons why you could have been in Lakewood. If he decided that you came to Lakewood just for his wedding, then he's fooling himself. So you can just keep quiet. Moreover, if you really would have come, and it happens to have worked out that you also have siblings in Lakewood, that's where you're going to visit them also, well, again, you don't have to say something. You would have done it. So you would have done it, you did it. It's fine. It's only if it's clear the guy has every right to believe something, and now he's going to be grateful to you. So you have to find a nice way to remove that gratuity, or else you're tricking him. You're putting him in a position that he's going to be grateful to you. It's unjust.
The question is it grateful that you showed up, or is it grateful that you traveled the whole way? Okay.
I think it would be pretty clear if you show up in Chicago at somebody's wedding, he's probably going to think that you flew in for his wedding. Unless you're the type that this is dealing with Chicago. So it's case by case. The exact line is machlek for shame. That's why it's hard to smash in places. So it's the rule book put on it.
Imagine so many weddings they have to. And if you don't go, they feel bad. So you have to do it somehow.
It's a topic. I highly encourage you. Very well, very good one. So we move on to
he told me that he would make it with this price and then change the price.
Okay, so we're not up to students yet. That's we had a while. We have like 8 minutes left. We might get there. Students is where you sit in the student in your hour. You should do base. You gotta get there. So we had another case. We have a Tazir situation on tests. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah, you cannot tell a child you're going to give them something and then not give it to them to lie. I had a sibling who took his young children bowling together with some friends, and one of the friends bowled a split. So my sibling told him, if you get that split, I'll give you $20. No problem. Takes the thing, he rolls it down, and as it's going down, it really tells him 30, 40, 50, 60. Sure enough, home. Gets the ball down. My brother calls me from the bowling alley. What do I do now? I owe this kid $60. So this is clearly Atzmah. The whole thing is Atzmah. Had it been an adult, you would not pay money. This is a gamble. You're not clear if you gamble with somebody unless you make real serious kinyanim, which you shouldn't do. So gambling is not something that's binding. Different topic. It's also Yeruch about that. You should sign up. But if you're dealing with a kid, the kid really expected to get $20 for sure. And he took that bowl. He was expecting that if he gets this thing down, he's getting $20. The 40, 50, 60, I think even the kid knows that was just, that was a trash talk. That wasn't anything real.
So therefore, I told him $20 he definitely should give. The rest, I felt that based on the situation, I felt he was wrong. Next, we have Ido Tzia, Yiyush. Yiyush, we all know, is Chal B'Drom. You have this very expensive item that you want somewhere and you think you're never going to get it back. So you say, oi, Kabbalah is so stupid of me. I put my watch down and that's it. That's the end of my Rolex. And the guy said, oh, really, Rolex? He goes shooting right back to where you were sitting. And sure enough, it's right there where you were sitting. You know, that phone spot where you were. And he picks up Rolex, says, I have great news for you. I found your phone, so now you can start coming to me for donations. I found your watch, because now I'm the rich guy. You need donations, you can come to me. So he's right. He said those words, Vailach Sar Kis, you're Miyayish. He now keeps that watch.
Is that Shamas Abedah to return it?
Oh, so now, you're right. It was a little disingenuous of me. There is a little too mature, so I didn't return. So it not only is it a Shamas Abedah, it's still too mature, so I didn't. So it could be, if there's Dina Malchusa Dina to return it, then could be ready to return it. There's going to be an upcoming Yerucha on this topic for Dina Malchusa Dina and how it affects Shamas Abedah. I would very strongly encourage you to sign up. It works good. It doesn't work. It works. There's a lot of great programs out there. Hilchus Hefker. Sim Reish Ein Gimel. Sim Pei is $2. Hefker is Chal B'Dvarim Ba'alma. If you say this thing is Hefker, now it is Chal. We Paskin don't even need three. For a Wokumra, we use three for Shemitah things and stuff like that. But really, the Ramon Paskin don't even need three people. Somebody says in front of one person that thing is Hefker. He can go and make a kinyan in it. And it is Chal. So be careful what you're making. Just for the record, two things. Saying kainet isn't kainet. Hefker works, kainet doesn't work. You have to make a kinyan. So the whole hefker kainet game just doesn't exist. On top of that, a kid cannot be mafker anything. So hefker kainet is just a scam. So if a kid comes home and says, I got something, somebody else is mafker it, it's a big shiloh whether they have to return it or not. Aved midas, not aved midas. So that's an upcoming group. Luchas Nachas, Rishayim Tes. Somebody says, this guy is my brother. We don't know that he's your brother. You say he's my brother. Then this person passes on. He comes to the testating lawyer and he says, you know, I'm a brother. He told me I'm a brother. If he meant it seriously, and we can establish that, he meant it seriously, he will get a chelik, assuming all the brothers get a chelik. If it's the children being Irish, then your brother won't get a chelik. But if he said he's my son, be careful you introduce to your friends as my son. Because they might take it seriously and it might cost you a tenth of your inheritance. So be careful who you introduce as being your son. Try to clarify things. Shchidmara, someone who's in the situation of Shchidmara, Ksumu Ksurum Dami, all his words are chal, and we take it seriously. Whatever he says, we generally do, assuming he's talking about his own possessions and he says specific instructions and he's in his right mind. Then whatever he says is chal, we are bonan, and it is binding. Hilchus Bikaldim, so it's Aliyah. Sitting in the airport, a guy says, can you watch my suitcase? Sure, no problem. He goes off, and then your flight's getting closer, closer, closer. What do you do now? Guy's not back yet. Stomach ache. He's you know, he's busy. You don't even know who the guy is. What do you do now? You're a shiver. Can't just walk off. Can't be for shit. What's the aid then? I don't really know. But you're in trouble. So don't do that. The guy says, watch it. First of all, in the airport, not a good idea. But even if you know the guy, tell him, but I have a flight coming up and I might have to leave. So make sure you're back in 60 seconds or whatever.
Is that enough to just leave it?
Okay. So now we have a few caveats to this. Is my leg's reshame whether I need a kidney? Like is Rambam Rush, Chaver in several places, talks about this. Who would Paskin like is Spears and Chaver, Spears and Rambam. So it could be until you actually made a kinyan on it, could be you won't be chayav. But still, Hashem is a is you're not to just walk off. There's a whole bunch of caveats. If you can give it into the lost and found, and assuming they'll take good care of it, that would be a way out. Otherwise, you're in trouble. It doesn't mean you have to miss your flight.
What?
Are you now an alien?
So what?
So you agree, but you didn't.
This is a good shot. This is a good shot.
This point in plain reading, you're not willing to spend more on his thing than you are on yourself.
Correct.
Oh, generally, that's always police to say that the guy.
No, just that's a better idea. Idea. It's not a personal anus is not always an anus. Depends on the situation. It could have been a foreseen anus. Like here, you know what your plan is. He doesn't know what your plan is.
So you knew you were not agreeing.
You knew your word, but you didn't tell him that.
You wouldn't be back. Tell him that.
You're good.
It's like
he's on the same flight. I say he wants to put back.
If he is, or he isn't.
So no. I mean, he knows basically. So you're not telling. So you're on the same flight, so he can let.
If he's a Peshev and not coming back, then it's his fault. Again, these are all Mishmaki discussions. There is an upcoming Yerucha on Shemrim. It hasn't been printed yet, but it's going to be coming up in a month or two.
Can you say there's an assumption of a certain amount of time that I'm going to watch it? Yes, can you watch it?
So you're assuming
it's not sure it's 30 days.
Yeah.
No,
but
that's how he's going to buy it. What is the share? I don't know.
You go to the
fair, I don't know the answer. There's a thing that have, like, you make a bunch of Bezdin and you turn it to Bezdin, but that's not to fulfill in the airport either. So be careful. Before you take a price or something, make sure you can actually fulfill that a price. Next, we have in Shinvav, I still have 3 minutes. Hopefully, we'll do one later. Goes to Tav Chavav. Shinvav is only malpractice. If you're walking out of shul, you're a doctor, some guy says, you know, I have this gout in my foot, you know, but what should I take for it? And you say, oh, you should take this medicine, and he calls you 3 weeks later, his foot is swollen, it's falling off, it's all your fault. And he's suing you for malpractice. What do you do now? So you told me, I was walking out of shul, it's my own business. If you're a numad, you're a professional, and you give someone advice, if the guy was relying on you, and if you had reason to think he's relying on you, meaning the situation was such that he was relying on you, if you were not careful with your advice, if you were careless, if you were pesheah, you are chayev. Now, how that translates into little malpractice, medical malpractice, is a big topic, and there is a yerucha on it already. It's on the website if you don't want to sign up.
What's the definition of pesheah? Doctors make
it's more in medical malpractice. There's a whole different thing. It's what it's called. It's a tikkun olam. We need doctors, so we have to give them a lot more leeway than we give your average accountant for making mistakes. So
should have asked more information, maybe.
Same thing. Be careful when you use your words. That's really what we're trying to make here tonight.
America,
that words can have huge ramifications, and you have to be very careful with the words you speak.
In America, same way. If you give advice over the phone, someone calls me for advice, and I give them the advice, they do it. I'm liable. They sue
me. You have that thing at the disclaimer. If you're on every email, don't have to show me something on this advice. Correct. That's why.
Everything
may be relying on you. So then you, of course, take it too far, because I'll have much more balanced approach to it, and it's as explained in the Yeruba. So I'm going to have to skip the next, I think, 15. But it brings us to the end is Tavchav Vav, Tavchav is when you're by somebody, you use words against someone and you harm them in that way. That, of course, is not actionable in Bezdin. You can't charge money for it if it was just for him. But Bezdin will take punitive action against you. They put the guy in Cheir and they couldn't give him Malkus until he's Mephias, the person he insulted. Tavchav Vav is Mesu Shemra, that is Elachelet Olam Habo, and other terrible things. So you have to be careful. No, sorry. It's Shema's wife with Barm. And if you are Malbech Rebbe Rabim, it's Elechelech Om Havo. Sometimes, depending on your name, it's Shema, depends. And it's an Oven Gadol. Mishav Vaish with Barm. It's an Oven Gadol. And only a Sheikh, the Rosh of Gas Ruach, says the Rabbim, is somebody embarrassed other people. Which brings us to Tisha B'Av. We have to be very, very careful with the words we speak. We know Lashon Hara comes and tells us what we're going from the Korban. So as much as our natural listening say, it was just a word, it was just words, I was just saying something, I didn't really mean it. Ramifications are, can be 1953 years in Gaulis, or 54 we had. So we have to be very, very careful with the words that we speak. The idea of Lashon Hara, just to give, just I have 30 more seconds, right? The idea of Lashon Hara, how it works, is that, the way the Chofetz Chaim writes this, is that you are defining that person in the eyes of Shemayim. It's not just the word that now that person's insulted, now he loses a shit of a loose paradossi. You just redefine that person in Shemayim. That is not just ramifications over here, it's ramifications in the cosmos. It's cosmic ramifications. Every time you say you define a Jew as being derogatory, you define the Jewish nation as being derogatory. So at least let's take this opportunity to be very, very careful with the words that we speak, and we use it for the positive, and Hashem will see the blue very soon.